Pasuk in Tehillim says, Ibduras Hashem b'simcha. Doesn't say Tamid. Rav Nachman threw in the word Tamid. But whether you add in the word Tamid or not, so it's very clear, you're supposed to serve Hashem out of Simcha. Ibduras Hashem b'simcha. Chassidim actually bring a raya from the Gemara in Tainus that it really should be Tamid. Why? Because we say, Mishenichnas Adar Marvin b'simcha. Mishenichnas Av Mimatin b'simcha. So what's mashma there in the pasuk? Then Adar, you turn up the simcha, and in Av, you lower the simcha. But what does that show you is the constant? Simcha. The constant is to be b'simcha. There's just certain times of the year where you increase, and there's certain times when you decrease. But you're always supposed to be b'simcha. So I'd like to try to understand a little bit this Gemara. Mishenichnas Av Mimatin b'simcha. Mishenichnas Adar Marvin b'simcha. And through that, try to get a little bit of a better understanding of Adar and also how it relates to all of us in our Avodas Hashem. So I'll read to you from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Mishnichnas Av Mimatin B'Simcha. That's the Mishnah in Tainus. Mishnichnas Av Mimatin B'Simcha. When Av comes, you downgrade, you decrease your Simcha. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Braid Rav Shmuel, Bar Shelas, Mishmei D'Rav, in the name of Rav, Kishem, Shemishenichnas Av, Mematin B'Simcha, Kach Mishenichnas Adar, Marvin B'Simcha. Just like when Av comes in, you lower your level of Simcha, so too when Adar comes in, you raise your level of Simcha. The question that the Rishonim try to address is, what is this Kishem? What do you mean, just like in Av, you lower your Simcha, so too in Adar, you raise your Simcha? What's the... There seems like there's a parallel going on here. There's a comparison. Kishem, what's the Kishem? The morning of Av, meaning the morning with a U, the Avelus of Av is not just on Tisha B'Av. But the Avelus of Av actually influences and impacts the entire month. We know that Rosh Chodesh Av... We already start on Rosh Chodesh Av with the 9 days. And the Shulchan Aruch says that if you have a din with a Gentile, you should push it off till after Av, till after the whole month. Meaning, why not just till after Tisha B'Av? You see, now I know we generally, once Tisha B'Av's over, once Yud comes, so we start with the Shabbos Nachamu concerts, and you know, we take a whole different approach to things. But there are indications, Mekoros, that the whole month of Av is touched by the Avelus of the Chorban. So there are those who suggest that just like the Avelus of the Chorban impacts the entire month, so too the Simcha of Adar is not reserved just for Purim, but the Simcha of Adar impacts the entire month. Now, why is there Simcha on the entire month? Why is there Simcha on the entire month? Why is somehow the Purim... Yeah, but why does it impact beyond the day of Purim? Why does it turn the whole month into Simcha? That's what we're trying to argue. We're trying to argue that the Chorban Habayis doesn't just affect the 9th of Av, it affects the entire month. And so too, the excitement and the Simcha of Adar affects the entire month. Why? Why? Why does it affect the entire month? So the truth is that if you start looking around in Mekoros, and maybe you'll start to notice this now that I'm you know, directing your attention to it, there are a number of indications that the month of Adar is very significant in the whole Purim story. For instance, the Gemara in Tainus says that Haman, when he was choosing months and the raffle came out on Adar, he was very excited because he knew it was a very bad month, because it was the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died. So he knew it was a bad month for Klal Yisrael. And others, in some of the Sfarim of the Rishonim, it's noted, they do the Cheshbon based on the Psukim in Sefer Shemos, that the Mak of Choshech took place during Adar. Now besides the concept of darkness and what that might represent, but we know much more than that. We know that Chazal tell us that there was really a tremendous tragedy that took place during the Makkah of Choshech. 4/5, right? The Pasuk says, Chamushim Alu, and Chazal learned that only 1/5 of the Jews left. Can you imagine that? One out of five. That means four people out of five died when they were leaving Mitzrayim. Imagine all the excitement building up to the Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Jews look like they're about to be saved. All these plagues are happening. And then four out of five people died. You know, that means families were decimated when they left. And that all took place in Adar. In addition to that, the Medrash says that Adar is a bad month because there are no zchuyos to Adar. Now we're talking about before the story of Purim. So when it came out, these sources all indicate that when Haman saw that the poor came out on Adar, he was very, very excited. And what that means, though, is that the Nes Purim occurring in Adar wasn't just a singular event that happened, but it's something that touched the entire month. Because if the whole cards against us was the fact that Adar was a bad month, the fact that the salvation came in Adar means that it impacted the entire month. The entire month changed from being a month of bad luck to being a month of tremendous good fortune. And the truth is, it's really meduyuk in the Megillah itself. Because the pasuk towards the end of the Megillah says, when talking about celebrating Purim, it says, V'hachodesh asher nepach lahem miyagon l'simcha. It focuses on the month. The month that changed from yagon to simcha. They were all mourning Adar. They all had Adar on their calendars, and they were saying, oh gosh, when Adar comes, we're all going to be in trouble. And now, and you sense that. You sense that in yeshivas especially. That Adar comes, right? We just started Adar, just like a few hours ago. Right? Yesterday, we were still holding by Shvat. And now we're holding by Adar. And tonight, they dance before Ma'ariv today? Yeah. They've been doing that already for a while. They started tonight.
Did it last night.
Okay. And you're going to have a masiba upstairs. And you're going to see there's going to be a whole different feeling in the Beis Medrash. As Adar comes, people are going to start talking about Purim. Look, Ellie's smiling already from ear to ear, just thinking about Adar and thinking about Purim. There's a certain simcha that impacts the entire month. And the truth is, it's even mentioned in Halacha. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Yerushalmi that if it's a real, real Shas HaTechach, like if you're going to be on a boat or something, and it's real Shas HaTechach, you're able to already read the Megillah from Rosh Chodesh Adar and your Yotzei. We know the Mishnah says about Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, but B'Shas HaTechach, Yerushalmi says you can be Yotzei the Megillah already tomorrow. Now, how can that be? If the whole month doesn't speak to Purim, so how can that be? Ella, what do you see? You see that the whole month speaks to Purim. So this is, if we wanted Mahalach number one, why Adar? Why is everyone so excited about Adar? Why does the Mishnah say that when Adar comes, we're marib simcha? Is it just because we're looking forward to Purim? No, there's something about the month itself. It's not just, and again, just like by Av, kishem, just like by Av, the Chorban touches the whole month. Av is not a happy month with one bad day in the middle. Av is a sad month. So Adar is not just a month with a happy day in the middle. It's the whole month is a happy month. And that's because the whole nature of the story was the month changed from being a month that had a lot of cards stacked against us to being a month that was brought us a tremendous amount of fortune. That is on a Purim level. But there is another approach to Adar. It's another element to Adar, which has nothing to do with Purim per se. It's nothing to do with Purim. But it also highlights something very unique about the month. And again, we're trying to get pshat in the Gemara in Tainus, that the entire month of Purim, we're marbim b'simcha for the entire month of Purim. So there is a very famous sefer from one of the early Hasidim, from the Chernobyl Rebbe, the sefer Me'or Einayim, and he asks this question. Why are we starting? Simcha is the expression of Purim. Why are we already starting that? Right? We don't know when an Aleph Nisan starts to do Hanhagos of Chayrus. There's no Hanhagos of Chayrus on Aleph Nisan. When you get to Yudalud, Tesva of Nisan, and Pesach's here, you start. Chanukah, nobody in the beginning of the month of Kislev starts already feeling, you know, the light of the Hodah for the Nisim of Chanukah. It just doesn't happen. No one starts singing Chanukah songs on Aleph Kislev. But all of a sudden, Aleph Adar, and everyone starts. Everyone's excited. What's the inyan? That's what the Moranayim asks. So he quotes from Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi speaks about how every name of the month, you know that the names of the months are not Jewish. And yet, after we left the Golos, they're Babylonian names. and yet we still maintain their names, which means that there's something to their names, or else we would have ditched them. Right? We don't say Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, and it's Yom Rishon for Shabbos, Yom Sheni for Shabbos. Why would we use secular? Why would we use secular names? Ella, the Yerushalmi says that there's something to the months, the names. Chazal identified names of the months, that there's something in the name of the month that highlights. Even in the Torah, you realize the Torah doesn't call it Adar. Well, how does the Torah refer to the months? Chodesh Rishon, Chodesh Sheni. Doesn't say Nisan and Iyar. Those are not names that appear in the Torah. But Chazal learned that there's something in the names of the months that teaches you about the essence of the month. So listen to what he says. It's a little Chassidish. You have to get into a little bit of a Chassidish perspective. First, we'll quote from the Chiddush Arim. The Yemor Einayim himself gives a mahalach, but before we get there, I'll share with you the Chiddush Arim. Chiddush Arim quotes the Medrash in Truma, Parshas Truma. And the Medrash says, it's talking about V'asuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'socham. And I'm sure many of us are familiar with the Vort, but if not, we'll just say it now. Such a nice idea. V'asuli Mikdash, build me a Mikdash. Say the rest of the Pasuk in English. And what will happen? David. And I will live in it. And I will dwell in it. But that's not what the Pasuk says. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say V'asuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'socha. That would mean, and I will dwell in it. Rather, within you in plural. If we make a mikdash, so then Hashem dwells within us, within Klal Yisrael. We're not building a mikdash in order so that Hashem's Shekhinah will be in the mikdash. We're building a mikdash so that Hashem's Shekhinah will be in us. So on that pasuk, the Medrash says like this: Asuli kiton v'ador b'neicha. Ador. Says the Chiddush Arim, you see that the word Adar is the same construction of the word Ador. What does Ador mean?
Water.
Ador means I, like in the plural, in the future, I will live. And he says that the Lashon of the month, Adar means that Hashem is saying, I will dwell. I will live amongst you, like it says in the Medrash in Tehillim. And the Morinayim, he actually goes even a step further, if you want to go in like the Chassidish Shemahalech, Aleph Dar. Aleph in like Kabbalistic literature and Hasidic literature always refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the letter Aleph, which is only one. It's only one. Aleph. Adar. So Aleph Dar. That Hashem is Dar. Hashem dwells. Dar. To live. To dwell. And the Inyan, that means according to the Chiddush Arim, the Inyan according to the Morinayim, is that Adar is a month of Hashras Hashchina. Ador. Aleph Dar. It's a month of Hashras Hashchina. It's a month that has within it a special quality that makes it fertile for Hashem's dwelling. And there's a famous Shlah. The Shlah writes that whenever the Parshios HaShavua come out in the year, there's some type of connection to what's going on at that time of year. And sure enough, what are the Parshios that always come out at the time of Purim? It's the psukim about building the Mishkan. It's these psukim about building the Mishkan. And what was the Mishkan? The Mishkan was a kli with which to bring the Shekhinah down. So it's not a coincidence that in the month of Adar is where we speak about the mitzvah of building the Mishkan. Because that is what the month of Adar is all about. And in fact, if you're not aware, the second Beis HaMikdash, guess what month it was completed in the second Beis HaMikdash? When they rebuilt, when the Shekhinah had left, and they came back with Ezra and Nehemiah, and they rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. What month do you think it was that they finished the Beis HaMikdash? Adar, exactly. The Pasuk in Ezra says that in Adar, V'sheitze Beis HaDina Ad Yom Tlos L'Yerech Adar, to the Malchus of Daryavish. It's also interesting, there's a halacha that on the first of the month of Adar is when we're mashmi'in al hashkalim. They go out and they start collecting the shkalim. Right, every year everyone had to give a machzis hashekel. On Erev Pesach, on Erev Purim, you're going to give a machzis hashekel. We go out and we give shkalim. That's when we start to collect the shkalim. What were the shkalim used for? The shkalim were used for building the adonim of the Mishkan. The adonim was the base with which the krushim of the Mishkan sat on. So we dafka collect shkalim during Adar And we use that in order to build the foundation for the Mishkan. So later on, they ended up using it to purchase Karbanos Tzibor. But the original Shkalim were used for building the Mishkan itself. So the month of Adar is a time of Hashras Hashem. It's a time for Hashem's presence to be felt, and that is certainly a reason to be very much besimcha. We say in the Pasuk, Roni v'simchi bas tzion, Roni v'simchi. What does that mean? Rejoice, be happy, bas tzion. Why? Ki hineni ba v'shachanti b'sochech. Because I'm coming, I'm going to dwell amongst you. You see that the Navi identifies what's the right reaction, what's the right expression when Hashem dwells amongst you. It's to be overwhelmed with simcha. And we spoke very early in the beginning of the year, I don't remember, we had a Bayit Chaim about simcha. And we said that simcha is not about laughing. It says you're supposed to daven mitoch simcha. But it also says you're supposed to daven mitoch kovid rosh, seriousness. How can you daven mitoch kovid rosh and also simcha? Isn't simcha laughing? Isn't simcha just having a great time? No, that's schok. That's not simcha. And we said at the time, anyone remember? We said that simcha is not an emotion. Simcha is an existential attitude. It's when you look at your life. I don't know if you remember, I quoted for one of my rebbeim. It's when you look in the mirror in the morning and you realize you're living your life exactly the way you're supposed to. That's the ultimate simcha. When you wake up in the morning in yeshiva and you go to the Beis Medrash and you're on... You wake up in the morning and you go to Shachris. And then after Shachris, you learn Halacha Seder. And then you come and you're there for the huddle and you learn Morning Seder. And you go back to your room and you go back to your room at night and you feel a tremendous sense of simcha. Because the simcha doesn't mean like, ha ha ha, what a great tosis we did today. That's not what simcha is. Simcha is that feeling of meaning. It's that feeling of looking around at what you have. And I bless all of you. You should get married.
Amen.
And you should have children.
Amen.
Okay, very good, beautiful. And when you have, you should have lots of children, David.
Amen.
Okay. And when you wake up and you see your family and you see Mirtz Hashem, your life, and it's going in a direction that you think it's supposed to be going in, and your children are learning Torah, and you have a house that's built on your Hashemayim and on mitzvos. So when you see all those things, that's the ultimate simcha. That's the ultimate simcha. That's the ultimate sense. That's the ultimate sense of looking at your life and realizing that you have something very special, something very thankful for. That's simcha. That's real simcha. When you're at a wedding of a child, so you the simcha that you feel is not because, oh my gosh, this party's amazing, I'm having such a fun time. It's not the simcha you feel. There's a certain sense of completeness there. There's a certain sense of like, things are working out. This is the direction we're supposed to be going in. And a vital component of the true simcha is Hashras Hashchina. To have a life that's touched by spirituality, by Kedusha. You know, I mentioned this when I spoke in Ulam Echad 2 or 3 weeks ago during Shovavim, but guys who have struggled with certain Yetziharas and certain Nisyonos and then figure out a way to succeed in that area and to control their Yetzihara, when I speak to them afterwards and they tell me how their life is different, the number one expression they have is an expression of simcha. When you're a slave to your taiva, so you can't be besimcha. Because you look at yourself in the mirror and you know, like, I could be doing a lot better. And when you finally start to get a handle on some of your yetziharas, so it's a tremendous feeling of simcha. Again, not a laughter, but it's a certain sense of shlemus, of realizing, like, wow, I'm actually, like, doing what I'm supposed to be doing now. And that's the Hashras Hashchina. And it's a tremendous, tremendous simcha. But I think it's deeper than that, because simcha is not just the feelings or the reaction that we have when there is Hashras Hashchina, but paradoxically, simcha is also a prerequisite in order to have Hashras Hashchina. We respond to Hashras Hashchina with simcha, but we can't be zochet Hashras Hashchina without simcha. We know, those of us who are learning Rambam together, we know that that nevuah, a prerequisite for nevuah is to be besimcha. It says there how the Nevi'im would sit and play instruments and try to get themselves into a state of simcha in order to be able to experience nevuah. And I think all of this, this perspective of the simcha of Adar, if Adar is really a very fertile time for having Ashras HaShechina and for connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and for connecting to spirituality, and it's so appropriate that it comes at this point of the year, after having worked hard throughout the year and pushing yourself and learning, we're really coming to like a climax now. Because the next 2 weeks until Purim, we've been building up all of Chorev Zman to this point. And I'm telling you that after Purim, there's a little bit of a cruise till the end of the month. You know, you sort of cruise it out to the end of the month. And these next 2 weeks, from now until Purim, are the apex. This is where we need to push it as much as we can. And that's because this is going to be the time that we're going to be, it's the most fruitious for Hashras HaShechina and for connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and for bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu more into our lives. And I think that really highlights more this connection between Kshem Shemamatin Ba'av Kach Marvin B'Simcha, because there's a process here. The Av, and they're connected with each other. Av is all about Siluk HaShechina. That's what Av is about. And if the month of Av is tainted by the loss of Shechina, so the month of Adar is touched by the return of Shechina. And we all in our lives go through that Av Adar process. There's times in life and there's times in the year where we're holding by Av. Again, I don't mean in the calendar. I mean in our own spiritual growth. We all mess up and we all slip up and we all make errors and we all have drops. And at those times, during those downs, so we're experiencing Av, there's distance, where there's siluk hashras of the Shechina. And then there are times when we get into a month of Adar. Think about it, when you get that inspiration, again, we spoke about this at the beginning of the year also, with the lightning bolt. There's those times when you get the inspiration, and everyone knows that when you get the inspiration, it's such an amazing feeling. When you're feeling it and things are great, there's no greater simcha than that. And I think there's another very important point for Avodas Hashem that needs to be mentioned here. That's the Tanya writes in Parak Chavav of the Tanya that light is really only appreciated when it's seen on the backdrop of darkness. You can't really appreciate light and color unless it's seen on a black background. And he quotes from the Zohar writes as well that even intelligence is not really appreciated unless it first starts with foolishness. When you don't understand the sugya and you're struggling, and then you get that eureka moment of clarity in the sugya, that's the greatest feeling. When you're struggling in a sugya, when you're not understanding a sugya, and then you get that clarity, that's when you get the greatest kishmak. When you're struggling, and then you finally figure it out. The Maharal says that even on a historical level, he says that's why you need to be in Gullus before you can go to Geula. You would never appreciate Geula if you don't first go through Gullus. You can't really appreciate Geula without Gullus. And Tanya writes, again, along these lines, that true simcha is only felt on the backdrop of first suffering. And he says this specifically by Avodas Hashem, that if a person first struggles with his Yetzirah, he suffers at the hands of his Yetzirah, and then he emerges victorious, and that's the greatest simcha. And it's only really appreciated when it's on that backdrop. And that, again, that provides for us a backdrop for being able to appreciate Purim. Because, yes, Kishem Mishenichnas Av Mimatin B'Simcha, Kach Mishenichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha. It's in that order specifically. Because Av is the backdrop for Adar. Only a person who's connected to the distance, only a person who appreciates or understands or feels the distance of Av, only a person who sheds a tear over the Beis HaMikdash or the distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so only that person can connect to the joy and the ecstasy of Purim. Only if you have on the backdrop the recognition of your failures, only then can you really celebrate your successes. And you should know that for Bachurei Yeshiva, for guys in Yeshiva, Purim is a celebration of success in Torah. That's what we're celebrating. It's not just a stam drinking party where people drink and get drunk and yell and scream. We all, some of us more than others, but we all, in our own way, invested a tremendous amount this year. And it means waking up early for davening, and it means pushing yourself in Seder. And I'm sure some of us are sitting here thinking like, oh gosh, I don't really do that so much. You still have 2 weeks to prepare for Purim. But you can't really, okay, you can have a superficial Purim where it's just like a lot of yelling and screaming and being silly. You can do that, but that's not what we do here. And that's not what we're interested in, because we're not just like looking for a day to be a heter to act like an animal. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for a meaningful day. And Adar is a tremendous celebration, but it's a celebration that first starts with an Av. Kishem shemamatin ba'av, kach marim ba'adar. If you first have that backdrop of darkness, if you first struggled and you came to yeshiva and it was hard to wake up early and it was hard to push yourself in Seder and you have no idea what Chiluk Malachos means and you're trying to figure it out and you're reading it again and you're struggling and you're getting there, so then when Adar finally comes, when Purim finally comes, you could say, you know what, I was down and out and I was struggling, but I persevered and I made it through, and now I have a tremendous thing to celebrate. And I think that is really what the simcha of Adar. Yes, it's Hashras HaShchina. It's Ador. It's Aleph Dar. It's the Shechina. It's the Mishkan. But it's all in the backdrop of Av. It's all in the backdrop of first stumbling, first falling, and then eventually emerging victorious. Beautiful pasuk that we say in davening every morning. And I know that ever since I've heard this word from Rav Simcha Bunim of Peshischa, so it's changed how I look at this line in davening. I think about it every day, because I say it every day in davening. Just look at Zimra. Yismach lev mevakshei Hashem. Yismach lev, there's true simcha for a mevakesh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't dafka say that you have to succeed. I know I said that Adar is a celebration of finally getting somewhere. But I don't want you to think that you could only really celebrate Adar if you actually got there. I look around the room and I think of specific people in this room who are still struggling and still pushing through, but they're in the battle and they're not giving up and they're fighting. And that's Yismach Lev Mevakshe Hashem. The real simcha comes for the person who's mevakesh. If you want it, you're seeking it out, you're pushing. It's the success of Adar is not that you've succeeded because you got there. The success of Adar is because you're on the treadmill and you're running for your life and you're pushing and you're training and you're trying. The darkness of Av is the giving up and the depressing feeling that I can't do this. It's the giving up. It's the Yeyush. And the happiness of Adar is the Yismach Lev Mevakshei Hashem, that I realize that I'm not in this just for like a few months and then, you know, that's it. Either I succeed or I don't. This is life. This is why we're here. Hashem put us in the world to try to grow in Avodas Hashem. And we're pushing. And that's the Yismach Lev Mevakshei Hashem. There's a mashal I think I might have once shared with you, but it's kedai to say it again if you didn't understand it at the time. There's a mashal of a mountain climber. A person who's on a hike, he's climbing a mountain. And the foolish way to think of it is that the goal is to get to the top of the mountain. That is not the goal. The haraya, if someone came by with a helicopter, in the middle of the hike and said, here, let me take you up to the top of the mountain, nobody would get in the helicopter. You know why no one would get in the helicopter? Because it's not about getting to the top of the mountain. That's not why you're doing the hike. You want to do the hike. You said to your buddies, you didn't say, hey, I would really love to get to the top of the mountain. I really would love to get to the top of Everest. So let's get to the top of Everest. There must be a great view from up there. It's not why you're doing it. You're doing it because you want to hike. The only problem is that if there's no peak on top to get to, you're not going to do the hike. Nobody does a hike unless there's an end of a hike. So you need there to be the top of the mountain. But not because you want to get to the top of the mountain. It's actually the opposite. We would normally think the goal is the top and the means to the goal is the hike. It's really the opposite. The goal is the hike. The means to getting to the goal is having a top. You need to have a top in order to do the hike. But that's not what you want. You want to do the hike. And that mashal is Avodas Hashem. It's not about getting to the point of being the Gadol Hador. That's not why we're doing it. We're doing it for the fight. We're doing it for the climb. We're doing it for the process. We're doing it for the work. It's not about, I once heard a teacher in Yerushalayim, he was quoting Rav Kook, he was saying it in English, he said, it's not about being perfect. It's about the process of trying to become perfect. It's about becoming perfect. It's not about being perfect. It's about trying to get there. And that, I think, is really the ultimate goal of Purim. You know, in Purim, Hashem is hidden. We all know that. Hashem doesn't appear in the Megillah. And there's a great song by a very old band, Jewish band, that says about Purim that God's name is hidden and it's for us to find. We go into the Megillah, even the Lashon Megillah is a Lashon of Megaleh. It's to reveal. The idea, and it's Megillas Esther. What does Esther mean? Hester. Esther. Hidden. Megillas Esther is all about being Megaleh, that which is Nistar, that which is hidden. That's what the Megillah is all about. And that, I think, is really what we're all about. We're all about trying to find that connection, trying to find our true potential. We're trying to reveal that. We're trying to bring that out. That's the Megaleh of the Nistar. That's the Megillas Esther. That's what we're all trying to do. And I'll end with So the Yesod of Purim is the search for God, the search for meaning, the search for ourselves. We're going to talk about it next week when we speak about a little bit about what this mitzvah of drinking is and what the whole avoda of the Suda is, what Purim's about. Purim is about searching out who we really are. It's trying about to peel away some of the superficial levels and to find out, like, what do I really want from my life? What's really going to give me meaning? What's going to really make my life something significant and meaningful for myself and my connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And that's the search. That's the search of Purim. That's why God's name is not immediately visible. You need to really look between the lines if you're going to find it. And I'll end with one thing. The Gemara in Beitzah on Daf Tesvalim and Beis says, it says there, it's not talking about the month of Adar. It says that if you want to have good investment with your money, you should plant an Adar. Same letters, Aleph, Dalet, Resh. An Adar is a type of tree. And if Rashi there says, why is the Adar tree called an Adar? Because it has very deep roots, and we've already spoken about this when we spoke on Tu B'Shvat, thank you, about the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that speaks about the tree that's compared to the tzaddik, is the tree doesn't necessarily have lots and lots of branches, doesn't look so beautiful, but he's got deep roots. And therefore, when a wind comes, it doesn't blow him away. He's rooted. Therefore, as this ism and that ism and this fad comes and all these different things blow at him, maybe even suffering, maybe even troubling times, he's able to withstand the forces of nature because he's so deeply rooted. So the Gemara says, if you want to do something good with your money, plant an Adar tree. And Rashi says, an Adar, Lashon Adar, an Adar is a strong tree with deep roots. So again, this is the month to firmly establish. Most of us are going to be going either back home or we're going to be going away for Pesach. And when we leave yeshiva, we need to be an Adar. We need to emerge from Adar as an Adar. Well planted, well established, strong. That's the inyan of Adar. That's the lashon of Adar. And Mirtz Hashem, if we really take advantage, if we put the pedal to the metal, we really take advantage of the month of Adar. So Mirtz Hashem, we will emerge strong, we will emerge inspired, and we'll emerge with tremendous simcha because of the Ashras Hashchina that we were zochet to in the month of Adar.